Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology and aviation industries. Just want to welcome Will Goldstein from Plain Logix, a really cool new company that is digitizing and protecting logbooks. Will, welcome to Plain Talk.
Hey, Phil, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about Plain Logix.
Sure. So we were a little bit of a light bulb going off in your head kind of idea. So my business partner and best friend, Rob Wilkes, owned an SR-20 back in around 2013 or so. His logbooks went missing.
Oh, crap.
He brought his airplane in for your annual inspection that you do. And the mechanic brought the logs home with him to do some research. And then his wife just was, you know, didn't realize that he had them organized a certain way and put them somewhere else in the house. And then 2 weeks of searching ensued. And of course, during that time, Rob was sweating. And it wasn't until he was told that they were lost that he started piecing together that he also probably just lost the equivalent of an engine or more. And fortunately for Rob, the logs got found because they, you know, nothing ever actually happened to them. They were just moved to a different part of that person's house. So Rob got out easy. And then when he got the logs, he started actually looking and reading that, you know, looking at them and reading through them and seeing that it's more than just, you know, valuable paper. There's actually valuable data for the pilot and owner to think about and know about. And so we went through this whole process that started in 2014, and we sort of taught ourselves how to build our, you know, how to code and build this solution, which has been a big learning process and actually got relaunched entirely. We built it from the ground up again with a much more extensible and powerful programming language, and launched in November of last year. Wow. And we've since it's been a fun process, and we've since partnered with Aircraft Spruce this year, which was awesome. And so I don't mean to keep going on, but basically it started with a kind of find a need, fill it, I guess, sort of your classic invention, I guess.
Sure. Well, I can completely align. When I started doing my flight training and bought, when I got licensed, had my flight bag stolen out of my car, which of course had my, you know, had my logbook in it. And fortunately I had a photocopy of my logbook, but I got to tell you, my son and I were dumpster diving the following day, and I should say, they didn't just steal my flight bag. They stole my computer bag, all my tools, like completely emptied the car.
Gosh, sorry to hear that.
So fast forward to what you folks are doing. It seems like a high value endeavor to your point, to protect against a risk that would impact the future value of the aircraft.
Yeah, and it's an interesting sort of, I guess, thought process. It's you know, people sometimes have a lot of reasons why they put off, you know, scanning these documents. Sometimes it's just they don't think it's worth spending the time or money. And sometimes we've heard people say, I've got a guy. So, and that translates to, I keep my logbooks at the shop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all these different reasons. And really what it comes down to is, if you lose the books, at least in the U.S., and I know this is also the case in Canada, you need to now prove airworthiness, and you can't do that for free. You have to pay a mechanic to look at the airplane and make sure that various ADs are complied with, which it may be that you have to do them again. And those, some of those can be really expensive. And of course, you don't know what the time is on the engine, or at least you may know it, but you can't prove it. And so you may have to overhaul your engine or propeller, and it can get really expensive really fast. And that's why a big reason why they're worth a lot is just the money to make the plane airworthy again is tied up in that. And then, of course, the market itself puts a lot of value on paper. So even if you do scan and back them up and use a service like ours, it's conceivable that when you go to sell, if you lost all your books, that you may have to take a small, small hit, but it would be ridiculous for it to be more than 5% or something. I mean, it, at that point, it's purely kind of emotional or psychological, just this sort of attachment to paper that the industry does have. But more importantly, in my opinion, if you actually use our service or any, you know, if you really look through your logs, you learn things about it. And I think that's important as a pilot, is to know the status of your airplane and whether or not it's airworthy to fly, and not trusting. Mechanics do great work, but it's not their job or their responsibility to ensure that when you get in the plane, it's airworthy. It is technically their job to sign off when they sign off on an annual, for instance, to say that it's airworthy in an airworthy condition. But time passes since then, and it's really up to the pilot in command.
Absolutely. And, you know, to your point, like in Canada, we have a 10-year prop rule, which says every 10 years you will overhaul your prop.
Right.
And to your point, if you've lost all your paperwork and remember or go back to the overhaul shop, you know, then you're taking the prop off and spending a couple thousand bucks a blade to overhaul something that probably didn't need overhauling.
It's very true.
So how does your service work?
So we have a few different methods of sort of tackling this problem. There's a few things that we recognize when we sought out to build this, and that one was people will like paper even if we build a digital platform, and people may still want to continue using paper. Another is some people will want to pay for us to do the hard work of converting paper to digital, and some people will like the hands-on approach, what we call the do-it-yourself approach. So our system is designed to be very flexible in those ways. You can sign up and you can make a free account and get, you know, transcribing right away and do maintenance tracking and everything. So basically we have these tools that we've developed that we use ourselves that let you upload images of your logbooks and any other documents, organized documents like 8130s, and that's more of an FAA thing, but I mean, you have similar documents over there. Mm-hmm. You probably just don't call them 8130s, but let's see, ICAWs, weight and balance, you know, your POH, you can upload all these things and have them organized. You can hand type your maintenance records in the system, which means that they're fully searchable later. And then if you click a button, you'll be able to see the underlying scanned image that was associated with it that has a signature. And you can do maintenance tracking. You can do it all on your own, or you can pay us to do it. And the price obviously varies a lot depending on the type of airplane and how old it is and how much it's flown, because older airplanes with higher time translates to
more
paper.
Paperwork. Yeah. So is it like as simple as like 25 cents a page?
It's not quite that simple. We actually have a pricing calculator that we've honed over the years that takes in a few different factors. It looks at the age, it looks at how many hours are on the airframe, how many hours are on the engine and the props since overhaul. If it's a twin, it looks at more, you know, both engines and props. And it looks at, is this complex or turbocharged, things like that. And it gives us a good approximation of sort of what we are dealing with without having to see the records. So we're comfortable with committing to a price. And you know, sometimes we get way more than we expected, And sometimes we get a little less than we expected, but on average, it tends to work out really well. And we actually have a pricing calculator that anyone can use. It's on our site, and you can put in the inputs and generate a price for yourself right there. And a lot of the times we can try to do a little better on it. If you can send us images of what we're going to be working with, we even give discounts if people do the scanning work themselves.
Sure. And speaking of that, for the, you know, the owner who would like completely hands off, is the idea that they pack up their logbooks and courier them to you or ship them out? And
it is.
How do you kind of deal with, oh my God, the courier company just lost, you know, the logbooks?
Sure. Sure. These are good questions. So first, before COVID, we found that 99% of our customers were packing up and shipping their logbooks to us via FedEx or UPS. We then stopped accepting logbook shipments during COVID because everything was so uncertain, and we also were not in the office very much to protect ourselves and our employees. So what we found during that time was people were scanning, and there was actually a lot of people that just had a lot of time on their hands, and we had more scans coming in than we could handle at one point. But what happens now that we're a little bit back to normal from the shipment side of things, we are accepting shipments now. People do tend to ship most of the time. Almost all of our customers do that. And they tend to do it the way we do this to mitigate the risk of shipment, because it is risky. And I will never try to convince a customer to ship me their logs. I always say to them, the first day that I try to convince someone to ship is the day that we lose logbooks, which has not happened yet. Like, there has never been a time where FedEx or UPS or whatever has lost logbooks, and knock on wood, that never happens. But I just want customers to ship because it's their choice, not because I told them to, because
of course
I'd hate to be on the hook for the reason they shipped if something went bad. But basically, we mitigate a lot of risks by being extremely anal with how we coordinate logbook shipments. So we instruct people to give us a heads up before they ship. Before COVID, we might have been at trade shows, and that may happen again. So we want to make sure that we're going to be in the office when they're going to arrive, or someone will be there. Now it's a little different. We've got employees there every day, so it shouldn't really be an issue, but we still like a heads up. We want a tracking number so we can keep an eye on it. And then when we ship back, we will never ship back without written confirmation from the customer that details how they want it back, you know, second day air, ground, FedEx, UPS, any insurance or signatures they want. And also if it's still a good time and if the address is still good. Sometimes people go on vacation. And so you might be wondering about insurance, and I don't mean to answer a question you didn't ask, but that one's a tough one. Because that's up to the courier, you know, FedEx or UPS. It's all their policies. We can't tell you whether or not you should insure it, because
I think, as an example, UPS has a minimum of $100 of value, but then you pay an additional fee. So I suppose the real question is, what value do I put on my logbooks? Because you have to declare that value and pay a fee accordingly. And how does the carrier deal with the claim? If I put,
right,
you know, to your point, let's say it's, you know, use that 5% number on a $500,000 airplane, you know, we're at $25,000. You pay the additional fee. UPS, as an example, loses the package. How do I get my $25,000? And will they settle on $25,000? How do they then validate that that is the true value of something that's essentially a document and is more intangible than?
So that's exactly the issue. And I should say the 5% figure, I sort of isn't, none of these figures have any real science to them. It's this market is small. We all know that. Your plane's worth what whoever will buy it for, right? But The 5% was the idea of everything's already scanned, and so you have it all backed up.
I got that.
So maybe you take a small hit. But if you haven't scanned them yet and nothing's backed up, and you have an older airplane with more history, and especially if you have a couple of engines, you're looking at anywhere between 30 to 50% of the value of the airplane tied up in the paper. And to my knowledge, and so here's the thing, I can't tell anyone on the phone, and I can't say it on the podcast without saying at least that you need to check with the carrier because policies change. They're changing. You know, I can't keep up, and it's not my place to try to keep up with what that is. But I can say that I haven't seen a carrier offer more than, say, six figures of insurance. And at six figures, 100 grand, is that really enough?
You know, to resolve this problem is for the owners to hand deliver to you guys personally, you know, at trade shows, as you mentioned earlier.
So we do, yeah, we've had that happen. We've actually had a maintenance director for a Bombardier Challenger 200 drive the logbooks and hand deliver them. They drove them from Texas to North Carolina.
Wow.
And then he did the trip twice to pick up the logs. In that case, it made more sense than flying something that expensive to deliver them. And
sure.
Also the logs were literally worth millions. So it's like they really didn't want to take any risks.
So how many, how many airplanes are using the service?
We're past 1,000 now, and
wonderful.
We have, yeah. And similar with users. It was a little bit of a slow growth in the beginning, primarily because we had a service that we taught ourselves how to code and build this ourselves. And with anything like that, you start out with something not so great and you get better. And when we relaunched, we saw a huge uptick in growth because everything was built better. It looks better. It is better. It works better. And then of course the partnership, the strategic partnership that we, got with Aircraft Spruce earlier this year has really helped a lot too, to sort of put us on the map more. So we're definitely seeing a lot of growth right now, which is very exciting.
Well, again, thanks so much for being on Plane Talk.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me. It was really great, and I really appreciate you reaching out and inviting me on.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.